Morning Bucknutters. It is Thursday, June 4th, 2026. I am Dan Rubin. This is Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change, joined by Garrick Hodge. We may get a visit from Mark Porter. Mark is in dad recruit big time season. His son, DJ, is up to two offers, Kent State and Bowling Green. He is auditioning for one, Kurt Cignetti, today. Good Lord. I don't even want to go down that road. We're a while from Mark having to broadcast from a different state, but we're going to do the best to get you learned up for the weekend. Official visit weekend, another one coming up, a blend of officials and non-officials. But again, we're in June, big time names coming through. We're also going to discuss, has there been another pipeline developed? There's been drips and drabs over the years, but we need to discuss if St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale has become the southern, I don't want to call it the southern version of Glenville. That'd be blasphemous on some level, but it's a tempting status. Garrick, can you let us know who is coming this weekend? It's kind of a nice blend of dudes. I could see all six guys being a Buckeye.
Well, if we're being honest, Ohio State fans probably hope they go 5-for-6 because one of them is Jaden Miles, a running back out of Louisiana. And while Jaden is a very talented young man, and we'll delve into him a lot more if the David Gabriel Georges recruitment doesn't go the way that Ohio State hopes it does. I mean, this isn't a charity visit. I want to make that clear from the get-go. Ohio State believes very clearly in Jaden Miles. You know, they've taken a recruit from Baton Rouge, Louisiana before in Blaine Bradford, and maybe they could do the same thing with Jaden Miles. He's 6'2", 203 pounds, from Baton Rouge Catholic. Coming
running here, back, obviously.
Yep. He visited for the spring game. He was one of two 2027 running back visitors, along with Nigel Newkirk, who obviously committed to Alabama on Sunday. So that's another secondary option off the board for Ohio State. We've made no bones about it that David Gabriel Georges is priority 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and they're expecting an answer from him on July 22nd. And based on what we're hearing, it probably could go Ohio State's way. If you want the percentages, I'd put it at 60-40 right now, Ohio State. But the Tennessee
40 being Tennessee.
Yes, correct. But the Tennessee visit does loom this weekend, so we'll keep our ears to the ground on that because that's obviously the biggest challenger on Ohio State's end for David Gabriel Georges. But Jaden Miles is an intriguing secondary prospect that we'll try to catch up with and kind of get his take on how things went. Kalon Bailey is another prospect coming in, a Glenville linebacker who's kind of played more of a edge throughout his prep career so far, but his size at about 6'1", 225 pounds is more built for a linebacker than he is for an edge rusher. Obviously a little bit raw because he's just moved around all the field, but when you have guys like a Sincere Johnson and talented guys like Jameer Perez all around that defense, I mean, you just kind of – got to pick and play and make plays when you can get them, right? But the film on Bailey is just so good. And, you know, a lot of people hear Glenville and they just think, well, all right, signed, sealed, and delivered. When can the national letter of intent that's no longer called a national letter of intent get signed and sealed and delivered to Ohio State? But as we'll talk about a little bit later, I mean, just because you're from Ohio does not guarantee you that you're coming to Ohio State. Now, I'll preface, the Glenville pipeline is something that's as solid as you can possibly be in this modern area of recruiting. But there will be teams like Louisville and West Virginia that he's going to visit that are probably going to give him something to think about. Louisville in particular, with a guy by the name of Vince that really likes taking Ohio prospects away from Ohio State if he can get them. So, if you asked me today, I still would pick Kalon Bailey going to Ohio State. I don't think that I'm ready to move off that by any stretch of the measure, but it just goes to show that you never know that it's over until it's over. But we should know pretty soon in terms of Kalon Bailey. He has a commitment date set for June 25th, so before the end of the month. I think James Laurinaitis is going to go all out here. They already have two linebackers committed, and this is really kind of like the last piece that they really want to complete this class. So we'll see how that goes. I know Ohio State's reserving that third linebacker spot for him. That's who they want to take that third and final linebacker spot. They would love to call it a day after landing Kalon Bailey. So we'll see if they can get that done over the next few weeks. And then the third
point. Yeah, but at this point, I think two things. One, I know the pipeline is strong. They're going to have to make an offer that's better than a tier one offer is at Louisville or West Virginia. That said, my money's on the animal. He's gotten to the point now where I'm not saying he's reached the status of the coach who will no longer be mentioned. I'm just kidding. But he's getting to the point where I'm starting to feel like he's an inevitable presence on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. James Laurinaitis does deserve a lot of benefit of the doubt when it comes to landing guys that he really wants. And Kalon Bailey over the past couple of months has turned into a guy that James Laurinaitis really wants and really values. And especially, hey, Dan, has the Glenville pipeline worked out for Ohio State lately?
This is my point. It would take something really strong to break the pipeline. Keep in mind, we got guys coming here, even if they're coming here, like Demarion Witten came here. He transferred out. Still, you're going to get your shot at Ohio State. So I don't want to speak out of turn, but I am one who does pencil in, maybe in ink, the Glenville guys.
Well, I would say I pencil him in, but I'm not ready to go in ink yet. But still, someone on our board put a comment the other day, like, if the Glenville pipeline ever shatters, like, then you'll know that it's truly wild, wild west out here. And I was like, hey, fair point. But
yeah.
All right, moving on. So the third uncommitted prospect visiting and has picked up a lot of steam on Ohio State's end is a cornerback, 6 foot, 165 pounds, by the name of Jaden Carey. And St. Thomas Aquinas, a teammate of Wyatt Smith, the defensive end commit for Ohio State, who is also visiting this weekend, mind you. He is visiting this weekend, just recently got a crystal ball to Ohio State from Zach Blostein, who does a tremendous job covering recruiting.
That's a real crystal ball, by the way.
For sure.
I want to just to echo those sentiments. I'm not trying to interrupt you. Zach Blostein is one of the best, truly a rising star, especially in Florida. So this is a good thing for Ohio State.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of attention from Miami, from Auburn. Those are really kind of the two competitors challenging Ohio State for his commitment here. I kind of view Jaden as a nickel specifically, just kind of based on his size, but just the range and athleticism that he can provide it's outstanding, quite frankly. And I also believe he recently visited Ohio State in April, so things have been moving pretty quickly between him and Tim Walton. There's four cornerbacks in particular that Walton has targeted, and Carey is one of them. We can kind of delve into those other three a little bit later. But right now, of those three, I would even say that Jaden Carey is the one that I'm feeling the best about for Ohio State, which is pretty outstanding considering that one of the kids is from Glenville. So this could be a very productive weekend for Ohio State. And not to shortchange the other commits that are coming in. We talked about Wyatt Smith that's coming in. Eli Johnson, the safety from Texas, committed to Ohio State, will be coming back to Ohio State this weekend. And Angelo Smith, Jeremiah's little brother, safety from Florida, will be coming back following a official visit to USF and Dan's old dear friend, Brian Hartline.
So, he's all of our friends. He was a gift that kept on giving. But, yeah, Angelo Smith still needs to be recruited. I think he's going to have to make a decision between similar theme here, being a higher priority guy at a smaller program or following in his brother's footsteps, though they are quite large.
Yeah, I just have always kind of wondered, like, I know G5, or I guess in this case G6 schools, have got a little bit more jingle in their pocket than they used to the past 2 to 3 years. I mean, even some MAC schools are making some six-figure offers to retain some players here and there these days, apparently. So it's kind of perplexing to see how much do they really have to offer compared to some other Power 4 schools. But if you can make a statement, like, you know, if you're Brian Hartline, you want to and you're known for recruiting, you obviously want to get a massive recruiting win for South Florida and say, hey, I took an Ohio State commit and I brought him into South Florida. And obviously on the Smith's end, playing close to home would probably be pretty nice. So
The PR value of doing that might even be more than the actual football value, considering that it'll be marketed as Jeremiah Smith's brother defects from Ohio State to South Florida to return to South Brian Hartline, yada, yada. How accurate that is in terms of actual gusto, I don't know. But, yes, it would be a step in the positive PR direction for South Florida for sure.
Yeah, so ultimately we'll see how this weekend goes. And in terms of Angelo, I kind of said it on Tuesday. I'll rehash it here that, I mean, Ohio State's been pretty aware that South Florida has been kind of circling him for the past couple months. And they also are very aware that Angelo is going to be on campus a lot in the next couple months, considering, by the way, he has an older brother who happens to be the face of college football. So Ohio State is going to have many chances to retain him and tell him that he's still a priority for Matt Guerrieri if that's the direction that they want to go. So Brian Hartline is arguably the best recruiter I've ever seen at this position, but Ohio State is still Ohio State. So I'll be kind of interested to hear how the Angelo Smith visit went and kind of how they're feeling, whether maybe there's just going to be a separation or maybe he's going to reaffirm his commitment stronger than ever. So
we'll be kind of getting around other commits for sure.
Yep. Yeah.
Finishing off with Wyatt Smith and company.
Yeah. Wyatt Smith. I mean, honestly, pretty standard stuff. Wyatt Smith is coming in, honestly, probably to be a peer recruiter more than anything, because I don't think that it's a coincidence that he's coming in with Jaden Carey, right? So if you can develop another pipeline, like Dan said, and kind of get two guys from one high school in on the same class, a very talented high school from the state of Florida too. Hey, Dan, has that high school produced any interesting Ohio State players in the past?
Just a few. There's some brothers who came from there.
But has anybody heard of
Nick and Joey Bosa? Are they good?
I can't remember.
The playmaker went there, by the way, back in the day. For those of you who don't know who that is, Michael Irvin. So they've been doing it at St. Thomas Aquinas. If you want to say it's the Glenville of Florida, no one would probably wrap your knuckles for that.
And then Eli Johnson coming back in. Eli's been about as rock steady of a commitment as you can have for Ohio State. This is a guy that Matt Guerrieri circled probably about a year ago around this time, of a guy that, all right, that's one of my guys for the 2027 cycle. I want to get him in as early as we can, and we want to keep him. He ended up committing to Ohio State during that UCLA game weekend, and you haven't heard a peep about him visiting other schools since then. So it's been an outstanding relationship for both parties. Eli's a very professional-laid approach young man, and I think that he's going to be a hell of a player for Ohio State. So definitely kind of the first two weekends for official visits has been a little bit on the more quality over quantity side. Definitely not as many visits taking place as they're used to in the past, and I think a lot of that has to do with the modern times of recruiting and agents and general managers talk around the country. And if you're not going to be in the ballpark for a recruit's range, then what's the point of even coming up, right? So if you're getting an official visit, that really means you have a chance, if you think about it, in this current day and age. And we'll see if this is kind of the norm, or if official visit weekends maybe even take more of a backseat in the years to come. But that's a discussion for another podcast, I'm sure, once we get the full picture of this year and what the calendar could look like a year from now.
I chuckled when you said the official visits are now like important, because it's so true, and they should have been just as important in the past. We always develop these techniques of trying to figure out, like, the Dwayne Long. We used to say the last visit really used to matter. Like, if you got the last visit, it used to matter. And then Tarvis Alford committed and announced his five visits, and it was like, well, this system is completely screwy. So there's that. All right, let's talk about, I guess you could say, one who got away. Ohio State did offer defensive lineman Reynaldo Perez in the class of 2027. He goes to Columbus Academy. We did a Buckeye in the Sky on him. Mark was pretty high on the guy in terms of his upside. He has, perhaps trying to beat Mark to the punch, He has verbally committed to Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. Now, I do get that losing in Ohio, and this is going to be the classic example of the new recruiting in Ohio. If this was X years ago, I think Ronaldo Perez would already be committed to Ohio State. I mean that. No longer. Look at the guys they're bringing in on the defensive line. You can't have it both ways. You can't go and be in the mix for one of the all-time four, if they get them, you can disagree with me, one of the all-time defensive line hauls, and saying that at Ohio State is something, and then expect guys who live near campus to see other guys from out of town get more money and a more priority. I think it makes sense if they have other offers that those guys are going to be attractive. Ronaldo Perez has committed to Indiana. Your thoughts, and have I placed that in the proper context?
Yeah, I'd say you're pretty close to hitting the nail on the head. Ronaldo Perez was I think he visited Ohio State 9 times because obviously it's right in his backyard. He goes to high school at Columbus Academy, 6'6", 260-pound defensive lineman. Really, I think he's kind of a hybrid. He could play tackle. He could play edge. Kind of played both for his high school. The game I saw him play was a complete disruptor on the defensive line. And really, more than anything, it just kind of reemphasized to me, Kurt Cignetti's here to stay, guys. He's not going to go 16-0 every year, but they're going to be a very competitive, very big thorn in the side for the rest of Big Ten teams, especially with how he evaluates talent, how he gets the best out of guys. And, I mean, Ohio State really loved Ronaldo Perez a lot. Now, did they have some guys higher on their evaluation board? Of course. But I think when I just saw that, my initial reaction was, wow. But like 5 seconds later, I was like, well, yeah, I get it. Like you said, Dan, this was another stark reminder of that we are in the modern climate that we are, because 5 years ago, he probably committed to Ohio State a couple months ago during the spring, right? I mean, the guy spent an entire week on Ohio State's campus and visited 3 spring practices 3 straight times. Now, could Ohio State feasibly get back in it with Ronaldo Perez down in the fall if their evaluation of him gets up a little higher, or maybe they strike out on a couple guys that they thought that they were in a pretty good spot for? Yeah, feasibly. I mean, you can't rule it out. And I'm sure Mark Porter will have a little bit more to say about Ronaldo Perez on Tuesday, once considering that he's at Indiana literally the day after he commits. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But, I mean, give Indiana credit. They got a hell of a player. I think Ohio State's going to be just fine. They're strongly in the running for some 2 pretty talented defensive linemen, Marcus Fecato and Cassie Curry. And their goal is to get both of them. We'll see if they can accomplish that and put on probably Larry Johnson's best recruiting haul that he's ever had at Ohio State, which is saying something considering how the class of 2021 went. But, I mean, wish Ronaldo the best. Maybe the door's not all the way closed, and we'll see where things go.
And keep in mind, he could also join the Ohio Mulligan program. I tell everybody that after 2 years in Indiana, or a year or so, or, you know, go there for a day. I don't care. And could come back. This is a question to kind of touch on what you were saying. We are going to get questions on Marcus Fakatu until he commits. So Garrick is going to have a taped response to this eventually, but now he can answer. Any more news on the defensive lineman from Sierra Canyon? And that could be a lineman, not lineman.
There's 2 of them. Yeah, obviously. But I think Ohio State's in a good position for both. Marcus just finished his visit to Georgia. I think he said publicly that Ohio State and Georgia are his leaders right now, which is a very Marcus thing to do based off of his recruitment. He always kind of gives the nod to his most recent visit, but he's visiting Texas this weekend, which is a visit I would pay quite a bit of attention to, because Texas values him extremely high at the top of the board, just like Ohio State does. And then if he doesn't make a decision after this weekend, he has more visits on the docket to Oregon and Notre Dame, and that are other big contenders for him. So he feasibly could make a decision before he takes all his visits. You never know with Marcus. Yes, Cassie will be there with him. But
Look, Texas, Oregon. Let's get Texas Tech involved in this. Can we get, you know, I don't know, man. Those are not the names you want to hear. Is Miami involved? Thank God, no.
No. Good Lord. They have not been involved.
That's unbelievable. That's anyway.
But I know you hear those names and you shiver a little bit, but I still think Ohio State's in a good position for both of them right now. Things are fluid. Things can change at the drop of the hat an hour from now. But, Cassie Curry makes it to his visit at Ohio State on June 19th, and they're still in the driver's seat. I don't see a reason why they can't get this one done.
Sure. No. We're still Ohio State here. I'm not saying they're going to be left out. This is interesting. Let's see what you thought from this. All the people who thought Indiana was going to fall off, it doesn't look like it. I'll tell you what Indiana is enjoying right now. They probably have a surge in alumni giving like they've never seen before. They'll never get it again this much either, by the way. This is their burst. So the question is, and this is kind of like how I felt about Alabama, and I'm not comparing the two, but everyone talked about Alabama's rise and stuff. Which is true. It's a tremendous program. But the rise of Alabama is based on one individual and one individual only, and that's Nick Saban. Kurt Cignetti is doing the same at Indiana. Now what we need is an NFL team to decide Kurt Cignetti is their guy and make the move and really overpay him. So I don't think that's so far out of the question, by the way. Play this out a year. We never talk about this. Play this out a year and say Indiana does great again. And one of your schools in the – I mean, they should have hired him over Mike McCarthy to bring him back to Pittsburgh. But I'll bet you Cignetti becomes a major target. And he's Cignetti's an older fella when it comes to coaching. So if he wants to go to the NFL, that's always been his dream. He's got to get out now. This is me trying to speak this into existence, putting it out in the ether and let it kind of circulate. Maybe I'll get aggregated. We can only hope. That's interesting. Yeah, USC apparently is not involved in the recruitment of the Sierra Canyon guys. That feels fluid to me. USC is really one of those schools also. Sounds like we're getting a bigger list here. Who loves coming in with a big check at the end. So I would not be shocked if USC gets back in the mix, especially for someone down the road. All right. Let's talk about cornerback recruiting. You touched on that. Can we wrap that up? If Tim Walton, who, by the way, no slouch on the trail himself, I might add, the reason, a primary reason Caleb Downs came here, their pops were tight. His pops was tight with Tim Walton from youth. So that worked out beautifully. Again, thank you, Nick Saban, for retiring. I got to say that every time. If this works out perfectly for Tim Walton, how do you think it's going to look?
Well, you threw a wrench into the mix by saying perfectly, but
really welly.
Okay, there you go. But there's really four cornerbacks that they've kind of prioritized. It was five until Gabriel Osborne Jr. committed to Oklahoma, five-star out of Oklahoma. They kept him in state, did everything they could. That was their David Gabriel Georges to do everything you can to keep him in state. Before he ended up committing, I did hear that Ohio State was very competitive in trying to get Gabriel Osborne in the class. Ultimately, it didn't work out, and Oklahoma did enough to keep him home on his official visit, but they're still in pretty good shape. We talked about Jane Carey already. I like him a lot as a future nickel. Could feasibly play outside, but I think in the slot is kind of where he's going to make his bread and butter. Things are trending really well there for Ohio State. I think another guy that they are in a good spot for is Deontay Malone, the cornerback out of Massillon. Mark's talked about him quite a bit. He's going to visit, I believe, within the next couple weeks. Monsignor Torbert Jr., the former Indiana commit that is now decommitted and canceled his Notre Dame visit. He should be on campus next week, I believe. And I think that's kind of developing into a Michigan-Ohio State battle. I kind of view Torbert as another potential nickel, so it'll be kind of interesting to see if they want to take two of them between Carey and Torbert. That's kind of one that I'm going to like, okay, so if Carey jumps in the class, is there still room for Torbert? Could they feasibly take four? I think they feasibly could, but I think ideally they'd like to take three at the minimum. Then the other one is Bryce Woods, cornerback out of Atlanta. So those are on all four of them are scheduled to visit Ohio State within the next couple weeks. So Ohio State's been at or near the top of all these guys' recruitment for a while. And Tim Walton is another guy that kind of deserves the benefit of the doubt. I mean, this time last year, a lot of people were kind of wondering what Tim Walton was doing on the recruiting trail. And then he lands a guy like Jordan Thomas, and then he takes it into November, lands a guy named Jaden Timmons, who's the top 50 prospect in the entire country. So Tim's another guy I always give the benefit of the doubt to in evaluation and recruiting. And I think he's going to end up with a heck of a cornerback haul here, whether it's a 3 out of those 4 or 4 out of those 4. But Jaden Curry could be the first domino to drop. We'll just have to see.
All right. We're going to have a little bit of a shorter show today for a variety of reasons, but we're going to hit some questions here. Benny Easter was here this past weekend. Any news on the Ben Man?
I guess it depends on what you mean by news. Now, there is a little bit of news item that he was scheduled to visit Texas Tech on June 19th, but he's moved that visit up to this weekend. So I think that that's kind of interesting because it seems to me, and this is just me reading the tea leaves, I haven't gotten any specific intel on this. This is just looking through the forest through the trees, that Tech probably wanted him back on campus a little earlier after, because I've been told that if he's going to flip to any school, Ohio State is the most likely destination. So I think Tech probably wants a opportunity to go on self-defense, and they want to do it sooner rather than later. So I think that we could see a final decision from him within the next couple weeks. I think Tech is going to throw the kitchen sink at him. When Cody Campbell's not lobbying in Congress to get a new bill passed, he's doing very nice things for Texas Tech. So
Texas native D. Sanchez weighing in. So,
yeah, I would very much trust D. Sanchez's opinion on this.
But that's what you call an eyewitness account right there. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So also we're getting some other questions here. Yeah, the Ohio LV Buckeyes gets this right, and I get this. People don't like losing guys, and I saw another comment up here that I want to put up here. We cannot lose. You can't continue. I don't think they're going to let 5 stars get out of the state. I don't know if there's evidence of that I'm not aware of, or I've forgotten, then you have my apologies. But I don't see a 5-star Ohio when you're going to get Jameer Weiss and your Jameer Browns of the world. I would not be super freaked out about that. That would take something extenuating circumstances, like a family kind of thing or something. I think we're in good shape there. We are not going to get everyone in Ohio like we used to. That's just not going to happen because Ohio has a lot of good football players. And the guys, I'm speaking completely hypothetically here, but let's say Ohio State goes after the top 7 guys. Back in the day, guys 8 through 12 would come to Ohio State just to fight for a spot. Now they're being paid first-level money at Indiana, West Virginia, Miami, take your pick. So that's not realistic. No one would do that. No one would take $500,000 from Ohio State when someone's offering them $1 million. I wouldn't even suggest they do that. So don't worry also. The Mulligan program is alive and well. Ohio State's ranked number 1, so let's not get totally freaked out here. Let's also finish with a little wide receiver chatter here. Blake Wong will be committing later this month. Eric McFarland is not visiting. Is Cortez Hankton in danger of getting a little hangover effect angst here?
I think the problem that Cortez is going to run into, and it's not really a problem per se, it's just more of a perception problem, is that some, and offensive line coaches have had this problem for the past 5 cycles, right? Is that you don't really get a lot of credit for the landing the stud in-state recruits, because especially when they've committed early, like a guy like Jameer Brown does. So I don't want to say that fans have Jameer Brown fatigue, because they certainly don't. They're very excited about him, but he's just been in the class for so long that sometimes, you know, our attention spans kind of shift, like, all right, well, who's the next guy in, right? Like, everyone was always very intrigued by Chris Henry, even though he started in state because, you know, he was from Modern Day. He was this flashy national recruit that's just a hell of a football player. But Jameer Brown is the Chris Henry Jr. of Ohio State's 2027 class. You already got that stud in the fold. And, you know, he has the black O tattoo on his forearm. It would take something insane to even spur the conversation, right? But yeah, ultimately, here's what I'll say about Cortez. I think 2028 will be the true defining cycle for him in terms of can he match what Brian Hartline set up? Because 2028 has the top five receivers ranked by 247 Sports. Ohio State is near or at the top of four of their recruitments. So you have plenty of options in the 2028 recruiting cycle. And in 2027, you've already got one locked in. Yeah, you inherited it, but so what? You have to keep them. It's any commitment is fluid these days. Even the ones that you think are the most locked in, throw away the key, we'll never talk about this guy again until National Signing Day. You've always got to consistently recruit your guys, right? From what I've heard, Hankton has very much impressed Jameer Brown so far, and he's impressed him so much that Jameer Brown isn't even taking any other visits. He's publicly shut down his recruitment. So, listen, if they can land Jameer Brown and a guy like Blake Wan, who maybe people won't get excited about because he's not a five-star, but he's still a very damn good football player. Blake Wan, for those that don't know, 6'1", 170-pound prospect from Norco, California. In the top 247, kind of on the fringe there, rated two or three in the country, 31 wide receiver. But I just love how fluid this guy is every time he steps on the field. He's kind of been an Ohio State lean throughout his entire recruitment. Ohio State's going to have a great shot at him. The last visit on his docket, he's visited Utah. He's at UCLA this weekend. He's going to BYU the weekend after that. He's going to Oregon the week after that. And then he finishes with Ohio State on June 19th. So those are kind of where things at for Blake Wan. I know that Ohio State values him quite a bit, and he values Ohio State. So if you can get him and then maybe a third developmental guy, I think that's a nice class. Even if someone was hoping for, you know, a Monchon Sales or an Eric McFarland, of course, right? But I think if you can tell your fan base, hey, look at the defensive line haul that we just brought in. You know, that's not exactly the cheapest haul that you can bring in, right? So you have to be smart about how you reallocate your money. And trench play is what everybody's kind of wanted going back to last year when they saw the Miami game. So I think it's a pretty damn good use of resources. But last thing I'll close on is that the whole, you know, is Indiana here to stay? If they can land Monchon Sales, and right now it seems that they're in a tight race with Alabama. The Ohio State visit is still on, as far as I know, so they're not out of it until they're out of it. But we've been told that Indiana and Alabama are at the forefront of that recruitment right now. If they can get a statement and get a guy like that to stay home, again, they're not going 16-0 every year, but they're going to be here to stay for a while if they can bring in guys like that.
That guy is also raised in Alabama, and his nickname is Bama. So Indiana, if you can pull that one off, it'll be very impressive. Very impressive was Garrick's knowledge of the scene. It will only increase as the days grow here. He is all over the weekend. Keep it locked into Bucknuts, people. Have a good one. Nutters of...